CBS News Brief. Two kindergartners in Northern California are in extremely critical condition after police say they were shot by a man who just met with the school principal about the possibility of enrolling a child. Butte County Sheriff Corey Honey.
Those two students were transported to area hospitals. They're currently being treated.
The gunman killed himself. The manhunt continues in New York for the gunman who killed the CEO of United Healthcare. CBS's Anna Schechter.
At this time, investigators that we've been talking to don't have any evidence of a direct threat on the victim's life or to his personal safety.
The Justice Department finds the Memphis Police Department discriminates against Black people. Loyola Law's Lori Levinson.
But the federal authorities feel that the problem goes beyond just these officers. It goes to an overall practice and culture in the Memphis Police Department.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Do you have an actor you like to watch, even if he or she is in a TV show or movie that isn't great? That's how I feel about Coleman Domingo, who is the star of the show Madness. Domingo plays an outspoken TV personality who rents an Airbnb in the secluded Pennsylvania woods to work on a book, but stumbles upon a murder. He ends up fighting for his life while trying to clear his name after being framed for the crime. I can't give it rave reviews, but it's not a bad thriller, mostly because of the performance of Domingo. Season 1 of The Madness is available to stream on Netflix. Speaking of Domingo, his film Sing Sing is one of 5 nominees for Best Picture by the Independent Spirit Awards. Other nominees include the Demi Moore horror film The Substance, modern-day Cinderella critics' darling Anora, A24's I Saw the TV Glow, and Amazon MGM's Nickel Boys, which will be in theaters December 13th. Many more nominations for many more award shows will be announced right around the corner, folks. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Packers and the Lions. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers in primetime again against the 11-1 Detroit Lions at Ford Field. Green Bay will be without defensive back Jair Alexander and receiver Romeo Doubs, both dealing with injuries. The Lions have 2 good running backs, the powerful David Montgomery and speedy Jahmyr Gibbs. Packers nickelback Javon Bullard.
I mean, they got 2 guys, like you said, that can really go. 2 different styles of running, 2 different styles of schemes that they use. So we got to be tied into both of those guys. Each of them are very special.
NBA, the Bucks losing at home to the Atlanta Hawks, 119-104. Giannis led with 30 points. Damian Lillard, 25. Head coach Doc Rivers.
I thought Giannis and Dame almost tried to will the game, which is probably not good either because exerting so much energy there. So, you know, one thing I wish I had played like 12 in the first half. I actually talked about that with my staff. I thought we should have done it and kind of got talked out of it.
The Bucks head to Boston to play the Celtics tomorrow night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Partly cloudy and breezy today, but the wind will die down a bit by this afternoon. Our high right around 29, the wind northwest at 15 to 25. Tonight, mostly clear, 14. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 30. We're back in the 40s to near 50 by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside right now, it's 12.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend. And then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW.
A message from the CDC.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
There may not be a lot of snow around Wisconsin, but the bitter cold is here. Welcome to a Thursday, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Boy, I'll tell you what, it is going to be bitterly cold today across the state of Wisconsin. There'll be sunshine out there, but our daytime highs no better than 24. And when you factor in a blustery wind out of the northwest, gusting up to 30 miles an hour, our wind chill values are going to be between 0 and 10 below. Tomorrow, sunshine, 29, and the winds die down a little bit. Saturday, sunny, and believe it or not, 40 degrees. Same thing on Sunday, sunshine and 49. Only in Wisconsin can you go from that kind of a drastic nastiness to halfway decent weather. We'll get the weather details. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, of course, joining us in about 15 minutes. Mike North, commodity specialist with EverAg and Platteville, is also going to be joining us this morning, focused in on what's driving our dairy markets. Got a nice little rally yesterday on cheese and butter prices. Is it about late holiday buying, or is it about getting ahead on 2025? We'll find out what Mike's got to say about that. And the Midwest food processors are finalizing their convention today up in Wisconsin Dells. Ben Jarbo headed that direction. And something as simple as the cost of steel could be impacting your pocketbook at the grocery store. Those are just a few of the items we've got for you this morning.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
Did you ever imagine that the high cost of steel would be impacting your pocketbook at the grocery store? Well, it is. Found out about it this week. The Midwest food processors are gathered together in Wisconsin Dells. Ben Jarbo's been on the road for us. He's got that story in just a moment. Welcome back, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Want to remind you, our talk text line is always open to you, whether it's commenting about the weather. Maybe you had a tough driving experience like my husband did yesterday. Or maybe it's something about holiday preparations. Maybe it's a question for Mike North from EverAg. He's going to be joining us live this morning. Whatever it is, feel free to use our talk text line and communicate with me. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. So today is the fifth day of December. Honestly, not a lot of big bullet points that I could pull up today. On this day in 1766, Christie's Auction House held their very first sale. It was an art auction house. The founder, James Christie, made his first art sale on this day back in 1766. And of course, it's still around. On this day in 1933, I think a whole lot of people tipped a glass or two. It was the end of Prohibition in the United States. The national ban on alcohol had started in 1920, and suddenly it ended on this day in 1933. And now you know. Well, I mentioned part of the story. High cost of steel could be impacting your grocery store prices. How? Well, let's catch up with Ben Jarbo and find out.
For many years, the Midwest Food Products Association has been working hard to make sure consumers get the nutritious produce they need. But this has not come without its challenges. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and as acres to produce diminish, it has created some issues for the food products industry. Jason Collada, the president of the Midwest Food Products Association, joins me to speak on some of the key problems they are facing and how they are working to combat them.
Well, our roots with this association are really in Wisconsin's canning.
Every year, it gets harder for livestock owners to produce. This is because animal rights groups are becoming more and more fierce in their tactics. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo, and I am joined by Emily Ellis, the communications manager at the Animal Agriculture Alliance, and she is here to explain some of the new tactics being used by the activists, as well as what we could possibly see in Madison, Wisconsin from these activists in the future.
Animal rights activism is nothing new. We've seen animal rights activists engage in this space for quite a while, but their tactics and trends that they use to target animal agriculture continues to change and evolve. Some of the big tactics that we're seeing right now is direct targeting of farmers and ranchers, particularly with criminal trespass and animal theft. There's been a big movement behind what these animal rights extremists call the right to rescue, where they are essentially trespassing onto farms, stealing animals, claiming that the animals were sick, abused, need saving. So we're doing a lot with trying to promote farm facility security measures, things that farmers and ranchers can put in place on their farm proactively to protect themselves from these potential incidences. We're also seeing a lot of targeting of restaurant retail food service brands. So activists have found that they can leverage what farmers and ranchers are doing on the farm by getting to those restaurant retail food brands and getting them to adopt certain policies that ultimately are driving up the cost for farmers and ranchers to stay in business and are also driving up the cost of meat, dairy, poultry, eggs, and seafood in the grocery store as well. So those are probably some of the biggest tactics that we're following from those groups.
Well, when you take a look at those tactics, has the amount of the occurrences been rising recently?
I would say the number of incidences from these animal rights groups is roughly the same compared to the last few years. We do put out a radical vegan activism report, which looks at those documented actions throughout the year. Our most recent report, the numbers are pretty much on par with previous years, that nearly one-third of these attacks from animal rights activists are targeting farmers and food workers. So it does seem that they continue to be a large target for these groups.
And you're mentioning that these groups are also targeting restaurants where these where the farmers are trying to sell their product to, whether it be, you know, like beef, pork, or even milk. What are some of the types of restaurants? Is it large, like, national restaurants, or is it more local type of restaurants?
It seems to be a trend from the animal rights groups that they're looking for well-known names, even when it comes to targeting farms. If they can connect that farm to a larger known food brand, that's what's going to get them media attention. That's what's going to get them traction for their movement, which is really what they want. So I would say in general, they target those larger name brands that people would know and recognize.
And now if we look more into the future, there are some ballot initiatives going on. Could you explain a little bit more about what those are?
Ballot measures are another tactic that we've seen increasingly used by animal rights activists to, again, force changes on farmers and ranchers. The ballot initiative process is pretty successful typically for animal rights groups because it relies on the general public to determine certain practices, and if they don't understand those practices, it's very hard to reach every consumer to share animal agriculture's perspective. Most recently, at the November election, there were four ballot measures that we were following, two in California, two in Denver. Thankfully, only one of them passed. It was a CAFO ban in Berkeley, California, which is right outside of San Francisco. Only one facility was impacted by the ban in Berkeley, Golden Gate Fields, which is a horse racing facility. But it does set a precedent. Now that this has passed, it's very likely that we're going to see similar measures in other places throughout the country. Similarly, in another county in California that's much more heavy in agriculture, they were facing a similar CAFO ban. So we do expect to see that trend continue into the future. And then in Denver, Colorado, we were seeing two measures, one wanting to outlaw processing facilities in Denver, and then one wanting to prohibit the sale of fur products. So similarly, we have heard from the activist groups behind those measures measures in Denver. They do already have their sights set on some other cities to reenact similar initiatives, including Madison, Wisconsin, Ann Arbor, Michigan. So we do expect to see some of those ballot measures crop up in the 2026 election cycle as well.
Well, right there, you're mentioning Madison, Wisconsin. Do you know what kind of ballot they're trying to push through there?
This is all speculation at this point. It's the organizer of Pro Animal Future, which is the group behind the Denver ballot initiatives. He had been on a recent podcast. He had given a list of maybe 10 to 12 cities that they were potentially looking at. So we don't know for sure if there will be one in that area, but it has been pinpointed as a potential area. And we've also heard from them that based on how things went in Denver, they do plan to take a look at what went well, what they could change, and try to get some momentum, because they have stated that they want the animal rights issue to become a political mainstream issue. So I think for them, it's wherever they can get the most media attention and hopefully, again, try to get this to pass so they can build on that momentum and continue taking it other places.
And what are you guys doing to help try to kind of combat what they're doing, try to keep it so farmers still have a place for everything and spread the good word about animal agriculture here in the U.S.?
At the Animal Agriculture Alliance, we're really trying to correct a lot of this misleading information and highlight the true intentions of these organizations. There's a very big difference between animal welfare and animal rights. At the Animal Agriculture Alliance, we are very big supporters of animal welfare, of the ethical care of these animals on the farm. But on the animal rights side, they do not believe that animals should be used for any purpose, including food production. They want everyone to adopt a vegan diet, so it's a very extreme mindset. So for us, it's about trying to engage farmers and ranchers to share their story. We're trying to do our part to share those stories as well, but then also trying to share those true intentions of the organization so that people are aware this is much deeper than what might appear on the surface.
Emily Ellis from the Animal Agriculture Alliance catching up with our friend Ben Jarbo from the Midwest Farm Report at our recent National Association Farm Broadcasting Convention. They are working diligently during the holiday season to combat misinformation about animal rights groups that are posed as humane societies, as ASPCAs. Make sure you're doing your research if you are still planning on giving in the holiday season. Emily Ellis, along with Ben Jarbo, on the Midwest Farm Report.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. If you ever need proof that your vote matters, consider a Minnesota House race decided by only 15 votes. Or was it? 21 absentee ballots are missing, and hanging in the balance are not only who wins the district, but who wins control of the Minnesota State House. House District 54A serves Greater Shakopee, a Minneapolis suburb in Scott County. Minnesota Public Radio reports that after a recount November 21st, the Democratic Farmer-Labor Party's Brad Tabke gained one vote and led by 15 votes over Republican challenger Aaron Paul. Tabke was declared the winner. During the recount, however, secrecy envelopes for 21 absentee ballots, which had been logged as received by election workers in October, were unaccounted for. County officials are still investigating, but don't think the ballots from those envelopes were counted, and suspect they were accidentally bailed and later shredded sometime before Election Day. Partisan control of the Minnesota House is tied 67-67, and the outcome of the Tabke-Paul race has huge consequences for both sides. November 29th, Paul contested the race in Scott County District Court, claiming county election officials violated Minnesota's election law, and because of the irregularities, a new election should be conducted. We have the court challenge and links to detailed local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. We're now posting on Blue Sky Social at Democracy Minute.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
For the Thanksgiving remains to not need to be in the refrigerator, if you know what I mean. Wisconsin, Wisconsin refrigeration. A couple of folks still commenting about the winds and needing even more rocks in your pocket today. So I'm glad that they're trying to keep their spirit about this all. Buck drove home from Green Bay last night, and he said that it was near whiteout conditions coming down through the Fox Valley.
Yeah, the snow blew like crazy. I was over in Sheboygan County, came back in the afternoon. My wife was down around Milwaukee, came back last evening, and said, you drive along, it was great, and all of a sudden it'd be just a white blast. You couldn't see a thing, and the wind was a bigger deal even than with that snow around. Fortunately enough, the snow going to be done for us now, but we still have some pretty strong winds around today. I'd expect winds to gusto somewhere around that 20 and 30 mile per hour range, not quite the 40 or 45 we had yesterday, but still breezy. High pressure is building in from the west. That strong low that brought that little snow that came in sideways, that's heading up into eastern parts of Canada and away from us. The radar indicating the UP and the lower peninsula with lake effect snows today. Far north Northern Wisconsin seeing a little snow yet. For most of us, though, we dry it out. In fact, a little better chance for some sunshine today, tomorrow, into the weekend. Temperatures able to moderate. Here's the one I'm looking forward to, a little outdoor time this weekend, because I expect even in southern Wisconsin that we'll find our way into the 40s, close to a Saturday in the 40s Sunday with sunshine. Yeah, a stronger southwest breeze ahead of the next system, and there could be a little rain chance wrapping up the weekend late Sunday night and then into Monday. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Cheese, sausage, and advent calendars, keeping my friends at Bavaria Sausage busy these days. Fabulous farm babe Pam Yonke reminding you, if you want to put a smile on somebody's face, if you want to make sure that client knows how valuable they are to you, then do your shopping at Bavaria Sausage. Old recipes, new labels, and everything holiday in their store at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. Always open online at BavariaSausage.com, where you'll see 12 options when it comes to gift boxes. If you don't see what you like, they're happy to custom create your package. But remember again, if they're mailing it and you want it to arrive by Christmas, they need that order by December 8th. The holiday spirit is alive and well at Bavaria Sausage, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, or online, BavariaSausage.com. Old recipes, new labels at Bavaria Sausage.
Attention farmers and ranchers, the Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
All righty, buddy. Let's talk a little bit about what's coming our way today and kind of tie a knot and hang on until the weekend, huh?
Yeah, it's going to be that way. Still have to hold on today because of winds, but I expect a lot of sunshine, except in far northwest Wisconsin, where a little snow may still fall. And for most of us, heading up at least into the low 20s, the upper teens way up north, the northwest winds 10 to 20, still gusting near 30 or so today, so kind of breezy. Clearing it out overnight, again, cool like this morning, in the single digits or very low double digits for lows, the northwest winds 5 to 15. Mostly sunny Friday, a little improvement, upper 20s, maybe a 30 here or there. West winds 5 to 15. And Saturday, mostly sunny, into the 30s, maybe a 40 in the south. Southwest winds still 5 to 15. A little breezy Sunday, Pam, but I'd expect a mid or upper 40 almost anywhere with the southwest wind.
That's what we got to hang on today, aside from everything else we own, you know, with this.
Well, yeah, just to carry the extra ballast, you'll be fine.
All right, man, we'll catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks. Have a good one.
All right, see ya.
Stu Mocker, ag meteorologist. Just got to try to hang in there, folks. It is going to change, and it's all what's happening in Wisconsin weather today. We've got more food and fiber news on the way for you on a Thursday. Stick around.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
CBS News Brief. Two kindergartners in Northern California are in extremely critical condition after police say they were shot by a man who just met with the school principal about the possibility of enrolling a child. Butte County Sheriff Corey Honey.
Those two students were transported to area hospitals. They are currently being treated.
The gunman killed himself. The manhunt continues in New York for the gunman who killed the CEO of United Healthcare. CBS's Anna Schechter.
At this time, investigators that we've been talking to don't have any evidence of a direct threat on the victim's life or to his personal safety.
The Justice Department finds the Memphis Police Department discriminates against Black people. Loyola Law's Lori Levinson.
But the federal authorities feel that the problem goes beyond just these officers. It goes to an overall practice and culture in the Memphis Police Department.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If it's huge blockbusters or holiday films you're looking for in theaters this weekend, you will have to see films that are already released. But if you're not ready to throw yourself into the world of holiday films just yet, or are in the mood for some offbeat, quirky flicks, this could be your weekend. Comedy sci-fi Y2K rolls out Friday and takes us back to 1999 when the world was in a panic over what would happen when the clock struck midnight on New Year's Eve. The film follows two high schoolers who crash a New Year's Eve party and end up fighting for their lives. If you're in the mood for a Lou Diamond Phillips movie, and who isn't, check out the horror film Werewolves, which also stars Frank Grillo, but has not yet been reviewed. So beware. If you're looking for a comedy horror, the film Night opens this week in wide release as well. The film stars Amy Adams playing a mom who takes time off work to stay home with her kids but finds herself turning into a dog. I did not misspeak. Despite the offbeat storyline, the film is pulling a 63 on Rotten Tomatoes. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Packers and the Lions. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers in primetime again against the 11-1 Detroit Lions at Ford Field. Green Bay will be without defensive back Jair Alexander and receiver Romeo Doubs, both dealing with injuries. The Lions have two good running backs, the powerful David Montgomery and speedy Jahmyr Gibbs. Packers nickelback Javon Bullard.
I mean, they got two guys, like you said, that can really go. Two different styles of running, two different styles of schemes that they use. So we got to be tied into both of those guys. Each of them are very special.
NBA, the Bucks losing at home to the Atlanta Hawks, 119-104. Giannis led with 30 points. Damian Lillard, 25. Head coach Doc Rivers.
I thought Giannis and Dame almost tried to will the game, which is probably not good either because exerting so much energy there. So, you know, one thing I wish I had played like 12 in the first half. I actually talked about that with my staff. I thought we should have done it and kind of got talked out of it.
The Bucks head to Boston to play the Celtics tomorrow night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
Partly cloudy and breezy today, but the wind will die down a bit by this afternoon. Our high right around 29, the wind northwest at 15 to 25. Tonight, mostly clear, 14. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 30. We're back in the 40s to near 50 by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside right now, it's 12.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend. And then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Did you know VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served.
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/home loans.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts, discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft.
But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
They were more recent. They're all in. They're officially signed.
Did you ever imagine that the high cost of steel would be impacting your pocketbook at the grocery store? Well, it is. Found out about it this week. The Midwest food processors are gathered together in Wisconsin Dells. Ben Jarboe's been on the road for us. He's got that story in just a moment. Welcome back, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Want to remind you, our talk text line is always open to you, whether it's commenting about the weather. Maybe you had a tough driving experience like my husband did yesterday, or maybe it's something about holiday preparations. Maybe it's a question for Mike North from EverAg. He's going to be joining us live this morning. Whatever it is, feel free to use our talk text line and communicate with me. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. So today is the fifth day of December. Honestly, not a lot of big bullet points that I could pull up today. On this day in 1766, Christie's Auction House held their very first sale. It was an art auction house. The founder, James Christie, made his first art sale on this day back in 1766. And of course, it's still around. On this day in 1933, I think a whole lot of people tipped a glass or two. It was the end of Prohibition in the United States. The national ban on alcohol had started in 1920, and suddenly it ended on this day in 1933. And now you know. Well, I mentioned part of the story. High cost of steel could be impacting your grocery store prices. How? Well, let's catch up with Ben Jarboe and find out.
For many years, the Midwest Food Products Association has been working hard to make sure consumers get the nutritious produce they need. But this has not come without its challenges. I'm Ben Jarboe with the Midwest Farm Report, and as acres to produce diminish, it has created some issues for the food products industry. Jason Collada, the president of the Midwest Food Products Association, joins me to speak on some of the key problems they are facing and how they are working to combat them.
Well, our roots with this association are really in Wisconsin's canning of vegetables. And so we have a lot of canning and freezing members from that legacy industry. And there have been some challenges. There's been a lot of consolidation in that industry. But in particular, this area, the upper Midwest, is a real strong, a powerhouse, if you will, of producing sweet corn, green beans, peas. We are rivaled only by Washington State, really, when it comes to producing those crucial processing crops for the canned and frozen vegetable industry.
Are any regulations making it harder to be able to produce these crops, like with regulations on herbicides and that kind of thing? How hard has that been in the past, let's say, 20 years for the industry as a whole?
Yeah, no, that's a really key issue that we have to contend with. So there's a pressure from wanting to improve water quality and public health concerns. And then there's a desire to improve those standards. And what we run into is there are certain crops that may only have one or two crop treatments available. And if they are removed because of those concerns, and they're legitimate concerns, we run into trouble because we don't have other tools in the toolbox. And so one of the things that we try to do with our association in particular is fund research through the University of Wisconsin and the University of Minnesota, where we're trying to develop alternatives for those crop treatments, whether new ones that can be registered through IR4, or if there's things we can do on the growing side or on the breeding side to avert the need for crop treatments.
Well, when you take a look at these specialty crops, another issue that a lot of people talk about is they think everything's GMO and that it's bad and that kind of thing. Are you seeing a lot of that in the industry and part of speculation about what's going on with the produce?
Ben, I appreciate you bringing that up because we hear that a lot. And the truth is that almost all, well, I should say the specialty crops that we produce in the upper Midwest, you will not find GMO crops for human consumption. Of course, with field corn, with soybeans, which we don't represent, you have those issues arise, especially on the animal side. But for us on the specialty crops, we do not produce GMO crops. And in all the product we have, it's a constant battle where people assume that we're adding all these things. And typically, it's the crop itself that's in the can or the frozen bag, right? But in the can, for example, it'll be the crop, it'll be some water, and there may be some salt. And it tastes better with the salt than without.
Well, and I'm sure another issue that this industry is running into, as long as the rest of agriculture, is a labor shortage. People aren't wanting to go out and be farmers and work with produce and plants and stuff anymore. What is the industry doing to try to combat that?
Yeah, like you said, with any industry in America today, that's a real challenge. So we have a couple of solutions. First of all, probably a half dozen of our member companies have resorted to using seasonal workers, almost all of whom come from Texas and come up for a portion. It might be June to November or some place within there. The sweet corn crop is the most labor intensive, so we tend to get more workers as the season goes on. And these are hardworking folks who want to come up. Many of them have done this type of work for three and four generations. Sometimes they'll all come together and work, which is impressive, and there's a lot of pride in those companies and the families that have worked in the same company for that length of time. But we still really struggle. Many of our plants are located in rural areas, and in times past, our seasonal help was the football team or something like that, and that labor is not available as it was in times past. So there's a lot of attention on automation and what can we do in food processing to reduce the need for labor, particularly when it's like a work comp type situation where heavy lifting there's been a big move toward palletizers and depalletizers and equipment like that that's robotic. And if there are further places we can do that, we are always looking for improvements that can be done. And we're really not looking to replace jobs, but we're looking to find technology that can fill in where we don't have the labor to help.
After years of hard work to help better the industry, Jason Culotta announced that he will be stepping down from being president of the Midwest Food Products Association, and that Nick Novak will be taking over the role. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Can you predict the future? I can't. That's why when I'm planting soybeans, I treat with Heads Up seed treatment. With more than 15 years of research, Heads Up offers proven protection against both white mold and sudden death syndrome. So no matter what the year throws at you, you've already taken that first step to be prepared. Don't let your beans suffer from disease when they're just starting to look their best. Tell your seed dealer you need Heads Up seed treatment. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Attention farmers and ranchers, the Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
Well, we got a nice little pop yesterday as far as the dairy markets were concerned. Barrel cheese went up a penny and three quarters, 166 and three quarters. 40-pound block cheese, that went up 3.170. Double A butter, penny and three quarters higher to 2.54 a pound. We'll talk more about dairy when Mike North from EverEgg joins us in just a couple minutes live on the Midwest Farm Report. In overnight electronic trade this morning, we're a little bit mixed. The corn market's pretty quiet. March corn unchanged at 4.29. January soybeans are up 4 at 9.87. The March wheat is up 3.5 at 5.52, with July new crop up 3.5 at 5.66. Now, our January Class 3 milk, that's a little softer right now, down a nickel, but still at 19.05 a hundredweight. January 21st, I want you to write that down on your calendar. That is when the 2025 UW Ag Outlook Forum is going to be happening. It's on the UW-Madison campus, but it's also available online. I talked about it yesterday with Dr. Paul Mitchell. He's in charge of the Rank Agribusiness Institute, which coordinates the forum. They are definitely trying something different this year. Not only the formatics and interaction with the audience, but the focal point. Mitchell said that every year he tries to change it up to get a bigger, broader audience talking about the future of Wisconsin agriculture, food processing, all of it. And this year, he's decided to focus on what we do know about the Trump administration.
I really wanted to find experts who could offer us new perspectives, to hear from people we don't normally hear from about issues that are important to all of us in Wisconsin, here in Wisconsin Ag especially. So we brought in Nick Paulson. He's a professor at the University of Illinois, who's on the President's Council of Economic Advisors during the first Trump administration for a year. We got Chuck Nicholson to talk about dairy, where that's going with trade. We got Chris DeLong to talk about, he's one of the major exporters here in the U.S. of specialty grains out of southern Wisconsin. And we got ag law. We've got small businesses. We got a lot of perspectives.
Dr. Paul Mitchell with the Rank Agribusiness Institute on the UW-Madison campus. Like I said, the date, Tuesday, January 21st, from 10 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon at Union South. And there is the virtual element as well. We'll be posting this later today up on our website, MidwestFarmReport.com. You'll also be hearing that full conversation with me and Dr. Mitchell in the next couple of days. But I want to put that date in your head. That's Tuesday, January 21st, for the next UW Ag Outlook Forum, Trump 2.0. What can Wisconsin agriculture, agribusiness, food processors expect? Dr. Paul Mitchell, coordinating the show. Well, he is the show for us. Coming up next, Mike North joining us, one of the primary brokers with EverEgg out of Platteville. He'll catch up with us next.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
There's a lot going on here at WRJN, and we want to keep you up to date so you don't miss a thing. From music stories, from news, from contests, to all the events going on around Racine, we'll keep you up to date not only on the air, but with our new WRJN newsletter. Simply go to WRJN.com. You'll find a place to enter your email address, and then we'll start sending you a weekly email to keep you up to date on all things WRJN. WRJN.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder.
It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
List with EverAg out of Platteville is actually in Minneapolis joining us this morning at another conference. It's that time of the year, buddy. You must just kind of keep a bag by the door, don't you?
That's exactly what I do, and swap them in between.
Yeah,
definitely a busy time.
There are a lot of things to be discussed, though, in the dairy industry, not the least of which, what's going on with our cheese market? I mentioned we got a little pop on the action yesterday, but we don't seem to be able to hang on to much momentum these days.
Well, we are slowly starting to see optimism forming around the export space. You know, as we retrace our steps the last several weeks, we've watched as, you know, the markets have kind of found a little bit of a plateau to land on, coming down off of some of those big peaks from late summer, early fall. And, you know, the real question has been, are we going to garner some interest from foreign buyers, given the fact that we've come so far and gotten a little bit disjointed with the rest of the world? GDT prices trading lower on Tuesday as we watch cheddar prices drop a little over 4%, mozzarella prices coming down a little over 3%. And, you know, by the time you continue to do the math, you know, just the sheer difference in cheddar price is from where we were earlier in the week, almost a 50-cent gap. We've closed about 10 cents of that with the movement lower in GDT, the 6-7 cent run up here in spot trade. And all things considered, I think the world is giving us some notice. And anecdotally, we're picking up stories of exports starting to move into different regions and contracts being written. This may take a little while to, you know, functionally realize inside of the reporting mechanisms that we have here, because of the fact that, you know, you have to make the commitments, move the product to port, get it on a boat, ship it. It hits the export wires, which, you know, are always operating in arrears. So this could be a little bit like last year, where December pricing invited, you know, exports that lived with us through the spring and into summer and really created the storyline that captivated the dairy markets. And, you know, we've watched as, you know, we've had kind of the whey and powder market, you know, make its run in the shadows of cheese and butter. And now we're, you know, watching now as maybe cheese and butter might start to become a real export opportunity for us as we look forward.
Mike North joining us live this morning. He's up in Minneapolis. He's with the EverAg crew. I always want to remind you, if you're looking for risk management of any kind or strategy planning or a great speaker at that, go to ever.ag. Hey, let's talk a little bit. You mentioned about how, we got to make the sale. There are sales going to a lot of our mature markets, our traditional buyers. Anybody new coming in, though, Mike? There's a lot of work being done in the dairy industry to reach into different markets, Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, non-traditional markets, I'll call them. Are we seeing any success there? Are you seeing any of that resulting on those export sales?
Yeah, we are seeing that here and there. And I think it's important to remember that in these developing countries, as their taste preferences start to lean towards some of our product, that still one of the best ways to capture their interest is with price. And so when we get into these, you know, anomalic type of environments where we can go very easily to compete against our, you know, the biggest competitors of Europe and Oceania, it that price opportunity really starts to crack the door open for us. And so, you know, as we develop some of these markets, especially in Asia, it really is a good place to expand our footprint. But, you know, global markets are kind of fickle that way. You know, you look at what's been going on in South Korea the last few days. South Korea has been a formidable partner for us. And when you see instability there, you kind of almost need to have some of these new territories, new countries open up just so that you can keep the balance in some of this ongoing flux of instability that you see either politically or economically.
No, I know you're on the road and we were talking. Just, you only have about 45 seconds, buddy. Tell them what is going to be going on in Las Vegas and why you're there.
Sure. So Farm Journal holds their annual milk business conference, gathering dairy folks from all over the country. They bring together a really strong agenda, and I'll be one of the entertainers, if you will, talking markets among some of the other content that's being provided.
Well, safe travels, my buddy, and happy holidays. I'll talk to you in the new calendar year, okay?
Looking forward to it, Pam.
Beautiful. Mike North joining us live on the Midwest Farm Report. Again, he is one of the big deals in dairy, and the big deal definitely at ever.ag. Thanks for joining us.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
If you live on a farm or other rural residence with a private water well, you'll want to hear today's edition of Farm to Fork. Hurricanes Helene and Milton happened almost back-to-back, devastating a huge swath of the southeastern United States. Many farms and farming communities were affected. The American Red Cross and other organizations are accepting donations for relief efforts in those stricken communities. They can use your support. There's a link on the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com if you'd like to help.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
When was the last time you tested your well water on the farm? Same goes for other wells in rural locales. This is Stacy Minson, a watershed specialist with Kansas State University Extension.
Those private domestic wells for household use, nobody's regulating those. Those are up to that private well owner. So we need to start deciding every year, 1st of January, 15th of July, we put a note in our calendars or on our phone so we get a reminder to test those private wells.
Minson recommends testing regularly, especially if farming activities happen right next to a well.
If we would have a feeding area right above this private well, if that wellhead is not secure and sealed, we could have that bacteria and that nitrate running into that wellhead, contaminating that private domestic drinking water well and not even know it. You know, if we're mixing fertilizer, filling the spray tanks right by the well, which, you know, we need the water, just paying attention because we could easily contaminate wells and not even think anything of it because that's where we've always done that.
A link for info on the private drinking water well program in every state is available on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
You're listening to WRJN and W260 CV Racine, W251 BU Kenosha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CV.